Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Now across from Ekholm to Bouchard. Reinhardt with the steal. Nice move. Helps to the net. Scores! Here's Loskarinen. Loskarinen. Back out. Jump back and shot. Score! Bonnever Hagee turns. Shoot. Knocked down by Skinner. Puck is loose. Score! Sent towards the net by Barkov. Reinhardt. They have gotten a piece of it. The Panthers now lead 3-0. Verhaeghe back to Barkov. To the empty net. Score! It's a hat trick. Sam Reinhardt. Puck sent down towards the empty net. And Reinhardt with his fourth. Panther perfection. The Florida Panthers with their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
Does this song have a name? Just like, hey, it happened again or something?
This is back to back.
Oh, okay. I don't recognize it.
Hey, it happened again.
Back to back.
You know, he wasn't the first to do that last night. They're even putting the graphic up right now. Reinhardt ties for the most goals in a Stanley Cup final game ever. But he was the first to do it since 1922.
Ah.
For the Toronto St. Pats. So he basically was the first to ever do it.
Two empty netters is a little bit of a, you know.
He's out there.
Congratulations.
He's out there. I mean, he's second in the Selke voting right. At the end of the year.
Today's so, like, topic.
You get that.
Today's topic. Could you score an empty netter in an NHL game?
Could I score a empty netter?
Yeah, like the one that Reinhardt scored.
Okay, so not like the one Reinhardt scored is he's like battling the puck out of his own end, and yeah, while he's getting tripped, he's sliding it into the net. Like
maybe not that one.
Probably not that one.
Yeah, there are empty netters, and then there are empty netters.
Yeah, like but if I'm ahead of the pack and one of my teammates just throws it up to me, like sure, yeah, I could. Well, I might have to goal hang a little bit right, to get it done. But yeah, I could.
Back to back. I was checking some numbers for you, if you want to take this in. This is not going to be the stat of the day. We do have a stat of the day. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. It is 1,088 days since the Stanley Cup was hoisted, and a Sabres fan didn't have to say, ugh. 1,088 days. That's Colorado Avalanche. And maybe you were mad about JT Compher getting it that year, so go back further if you want.
Yeah,
you then it's Bogosian before that, and then it's O'Reilly before that.
Yep.
So, whatever. What's to say that hasn't been said about all that? Any?
You know, it's less that, because what have we said? We've said it's further confirmation that it wasn't about the good players, right? That it was more about they just stunk at supporting them.
They didn't know what good players were.
No idea.
Jason Bottrell, the guy is a GM in the NHL right now. The guy that really destroyed this franchise has a job, which is kind of amazing.
Right.
I mean, the GM that maybe he didn't make all the decisions, but the guy that really did all the damage is Jason Bottrell. And Kevin Adams has had some trouble, obviously, and has not done the best job cleaning it up. But the guy that really did it all was Bottrell.
Yep, that's right. And the guy that brought them all in, right? Like,
is not a guy in the league anymore.
No, he doesn't. He has not worked in the league since, and I can't imagine he ever would again. But Murray built a core group of players that were going to win Stanley Cups if you had just put the right pieces around them. But he thought that Rasmus Ristolainen, Zach Bogosian, and Josh Georges were the pieces on the blue line to do that with. Right? Those are the guys.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that played 20-plus minutes a night, and your goalies got hurt, and you made poor decisions with coach. So I think Botterill did it worse, but, you know, like, these guys are surrounded by really good teams that allow them to be stars. That goal, I mean, Reinhardt scores that first goal. I don't think he needed a teammate for that one. He could have gone.
That was pretty nice.
That was just himself stealing the puck, going around guys. Like, that's just a great individual effort. But, I mean, he's on a team that allows him to get to this moment. And the Sabres just didn't even come close. That, I tweeted this out last night. The 2016-17 Buffalo Sabres finished with 78 points. And they have a combined 11 Stanley Cup rings since they left.
It's a lot.
11.
11.
I'm double counting. Some Florida? Of those are Rodriguez. And like last night, I'm giving them three because Reinhardt, Rodriguez, and Kulikov are all on that team.
But Kulikov is maybe a stretch. Montour's on the team last year, not this year, right?
Right. Yeah, he's not on this year. But
well, anyway, like I said, what's to be said that hasn't been said? It feels like in the moment of a game like last night, you know, Reinhardt scored a beautiful goal, one off his foot, and two empty netters. So there are four goal performances, and then there are four goal performances. But what's to be said? Because if you went to bed and, you know, you don't really care, that's fine. If you watched, maybe you're someone that likes to do this where the game ends or Reinhardt scores his fourth, and you're like, man, I'm going to see who makes the absolute most devastating comment on Twitter about this. Who's going to win Twitter? Mm-hmm. That's what a moment like last night is. Which Sabres tweeter, content creator, who's going to win Twitter tonight? And there are a couple that I enjoyed. I mean, there's rehashing the Reinhardt trade, and did they get enough? Because they got a first and a prospect. Mm-hmm. That's Jiří Kulík and Devon Levi. There's Eichel and Reinhardt on the bike. There's, you know, I don't know. Like, who, I don't know, maybe we should award this. Who won last night? Who won Twitter last night as a Sabres content creator that sees the moment? I mean, I used to definitely be someone that did this all the time. What's to be said that's not been said about this situation? About where they are? About where they are and, more importantly, where they were?
Well, right, like, because this is more of like a hypothetical, like a what-if game that it's probably not that realistic. But last night I was thinking a lot about, In the past, it's been more like what I just kind of went through, like how those teams were so bad, what was around them, whatever. Yesterday was more for me, man, can you imagine, what if they had somehow been able to hold it together for just a couple more years? What if they were able to keep those guys together for a couple more years and everything else is the same?
Would they have kind of grown up 1 year, 2 years later?
Yeah, because they're... In their supporting cast, did it not show up right after they left? The supporting cast, Eichel and Reinhardt specifically, the supporting cast that they needed around them to win, 2 years later, it was almost in the playoffs without them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have Tuck if you do that, right? But isn't that the only... like Tage, key piece you don't have if you're not making these trades?
Tage, Dahlin, Oposo.
Right, like Dahlin grows into his own and wondering, this is kind of a wondering what they would have been if Granato was the coach. And maybe they're doing the same style. And okay, Cousins has a big year and Tage moves to center, but he's playing second line center, so he's still a producer. And kind of they all do grow into it under Granato, but the difference is I've got Eichel and Reinhardt still at the top. I was thinking a lot about that last night because I'm thinking like that's a team that you could still be looking at as a perennial playoff team. If you would have got in that first time probably, if everything else is the same and you have those two at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'd probably unrealistic. They had already screwed it up because Reinhardt was on a bridge deal. You couldn't keep it together.
Yep.
So... you could have played nice maybe with Eichel and in a different circumstance. Maybe you could have played hardball, but it doesn't seem tenable. But that was my thought last night that I don't think I've heard said. Like, what would it have looked like if they somehow kept it together a little bit longer?
What am I thinking watching last night? I'm thinking about Reinhardt as a 5-time 20-goal scorer going for a first-rounder and a prospect. And that was in part because there's uncertainty about whether or not he would sign wherever you traded him, right? The offers, let's be real, the offers, there might have been five teams making an offer because they thought, we'll re-sign that guy. And other teams would have said, we're not sure if we can. Florida takes the risk. Florida makes the deal. Florida resigns him. So
remember, he played out that final year of his contract, too, I think.
Yeah.
And then he ended up re-signing.
Did he re-sign during the season?
Good question. I'm not sure about that part of it. Let me look. I feel like might have been after.
I was going to say, he did not get to unrestricted free agency, though.
No, he didn't. He didn't get to UFA status. I know that. But it might have been in the summer that they ended up signing him.
Yeah.
He
has just signed.
No, it was July 1st.
The very first year?
It's not the year that he
got traded there?
No, he had...
July 1st of what year he signed?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at a different extension. So he's traded there in 2021.
Yep.
And then on August 11th, so before he's played a game for them, he signed a three-year, 19-year deal, $19 million a year deal. I mean, the Panthers kind of did the same thing, didn't they? Like, they didn't sign him to an eight-year deal when he showed up there. They signed him to a three-year deal.
He took three.
But they were so good, and he turned into such a good player that I think it was probably pretty easy to sign the extension after.
And three was a longer contract than the Sabres ever gave him, other than his entry-level deal. It was twos and ones, right? Twos and ones.
It was never a three for the Sabres?
No, I don't think so. I mean, again, he's
brutal.
He signs with the Panthers for 3 years, plays that out, and then last year signed an eight-year contract. So, he's not going anywhere. But that might be one of the reasons, if you look back at the trade and think, wow, you got a first-round pick and a prospect. And the prospect was Levi, the seventh-round goaltender who still is not your full-time goalie, and we don't know when he will be or if that happens this year. And then the other guy's Jiří Kulík, who looks like a nice player, and this year is, you know. But it kind of drives home when I was looking at that trade that you should, of course, always, always be trading first-round picks for real players.
Mm-hmm.
Every team in the league should be trading first-round picks for real players, especially if you're good and it's the 22nd or the 25th pick. Every time you should trade that for a real player. And the Panthers, you know, they did well in that deal. The point I was starting to make there is, how many teams are in on Reinhardt? Was it 10? You know, was it 6 because of that, can we sign him?
Mm-hmm.
And Florida might have been willing to take the risk and then also say, what'd you think about 3 years, 19? And says, you know what, sure, I like it. Why not? I like what we're doing. I also saw yesterday, again, who's winning Twitter? The Sabres interviewed Bill Zito.
Yes.
They interviewed him for...
Before Botterill?
Yeah, because he worked under... Jarmo Kekalainen.
Yep.
And I saw the tweet from Pierre LeBrun. It's 2017. Hey, the Sabres have just interviewed Bill Zito. So you could say everything you want about really anything that went wrong. I might just go down to, what if they hired Bill Zito instead of Jason Botterill? I don't know that they're a Stanley Cup champion, but one guy has shown a good way to destroy a franchise, and the other has built one into a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. Now, he's got some things working for him. You want to talk about, tax, income tax.
Yeah.
You want to talk about palm trees. You can do all that. But the Sabres made a hire at GM, and it was Botterill instead of Zito.
Yeah. But as we pointed out, he's not bringing in talent by spending $10 million in free agency. He's getting Forsling for nothing and Rodriguez for nothing, and he's getting Reinhardt for a late first-round pick and a prospect.
Which is basically what a GM is.
And he's making a big swing for Kachuk.
That's when a GM is good.
Yeah.
When you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows what he's doing. So,
That could be...
I keep saying what's to be said as we add a few more things here and there, but what's to be said? Are we supposed to, punish ourselves all day today? Maybe.
You're supposed to be mad at them, right?
Who is it?
The Sabres.
For how long? How long do I have to stay mad?
You're supposed to be mad at them until they finally turn it around.
Well,
I think they've earned that. They've earned the fans being angry until it's over.
Yeah, that's probably right.
But maybe that's not healthy and that's not a good environment. The players certainly, does Paterka still hold a grudge or somebody else on the team from being booed down 9-1 to Columbus 2 years ago, which still blows my mind? But it seemed to have happened, right? Tuck talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So not healthy maybe, but it's what they have earned, I think, is you've done something no one else has ever done in a market that cared about the sport a lot. And it's dwindling and dwindling and dwindling every year. Maybe last night is a moment to show, though, that there is still a lot of people that care, that have emotion, that have pent up anguish because, hell, that guy, a lot of people like that guy. I put a poll up last week. Do you like Sam Reinhart? Just to compare it to how many people would say about Eichel, it was like 95% say they like Reinhart. So, player that everybody likes that was really good, and he's doing legendary things on another team and winning back-to-back cups.
Yep.
Like, that should make you angry that it's not happening here. Even, something half as good happening here. I don't even mind scoring four in a cup-clinching game, but he has done it 2 years in a row, by the way, now. I mean, it was the game-winning goal last year, and that I don't think he ended up with the game-winning goal last night because the Oilers scored with, like, a minute left.
Yeah. Which is proof that, like, clinching goal is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, I have the clinching goal. We're up, 5-0.
Right.
Oh, wait.
The Oilers scored. Now it's Kachuk's.
Now it's not mine anymore. I did not have the game-winning goal. That is kind of a goofy thing. I mean, I get
how
it
works. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, 803-0550. Good morning, everyone. The Panthers win. Back-to-back champs for them. You know, the question to kind of ask there is whether or not the primary thing you feel is anger or indifference.
Mm-hmm. Because it's one of the two.
Which is
for everybody.
Which is what you asked yesterday early in the show. Is like, when did you check out? And yeah. I don't feel either of those things. Of course, there's plenty of, anger about how things have gone. I definitely don't feel indifference. I just feel like a level of acceptance about, and that's really it. To me, it's accepting how bad things were, and I don't know when things will get better, but mm-hmm. I do know that today is the first day towards them getting better. And someday, they'll be good again. In theory.
I was going to say.
Someday, they'll be good again.
Some days where I wonder if that's even true. Or they're good.
There's Florida good, and then there's just, like Ottawa good. Mm-hmm. They can be Ottawa good, and it would be our favorite season in 14 years. Probably. So they'll be good again, and someday when they're good again, it'll start today, the day after the Cup Final. The draft is in 9 days.
Still, every time you say it,
right, the draft is in 9 days. Imagine the NFL rolls out the draft 9 days after the Super Bowl.
You know, the NHL really doesn't they don't really get the NFL strategy of like, oh, let's spread things out a little bit.
In large part because no one cares.
Yeah, I was going to say, they know that no one cares about the draft, really.
You know about like the top six players in a good year.
Yeah.
And after that, it's just like, sure, whatever. Show me the jerseys of the Moncton Wildcats and call it a day.
I'm just saying, like, you're in your 3 of 32 markets that might maybe actually care about the thing.
Yeah.
Let's throw it in the middle of July when nothing's happening.
I find myself admiring people that can get to, I did a mock draft, and here's the Sabres. Ninth.
Is it Corey Pronman, I think, for The Athletic? I think it was him. Did a 7-round NHL mock draft?
Fake.
Like, it's gotta be fake. A hero.
I do some prospect
7-round mock draft.
And, like, I can't even imagine those. You gotta scout.
It's crazy.
300 players to do that.
We all got drafted in Corey Pronman's 7-round. All of us. All 4 of us are going. Congratulations. Josh, Nashville. You gotta be excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 7-round mock. Well, the draft is in 9 days.
But what that is more for me is, like, we're going to get the team looking different in 9 days.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there are trades to be made, and there are guys that maybe you trade away, and talk that Adams wants to do something big. I'm allowing myself to be optimistic that they're going to do something that I'm going to care about. There we go. Well, I don't even know that I'll like it. I just know that I just feel like, yeah, I'm willing to believe right now they're going to do something that I legitimately care about. Something that outranks, what was their biggest move last year? The McLeod trade?
Yep.
I think whatever they do this year, I think will outrank the Ryan McLeod trade.
Well, are J.J. Paterka and Bo Byram better potential trade pieces than Matthew Savoy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I think the answer is yes. So,
you have a GM that maybe, I don't know, is desperate the wrong word for it?
No, he should be desperate.
Don't you kind of feel like he maybe is acting more desperate? Like, he was not doing that for a while, but I don't know if you call trading Cousins desperation. It's more willingness to part with pieces that, you know, maybe people think you're in love with.
Yeah.
And that you can't part with. I love Dylan Cousins. Can't part with him. Like, they did that. So what would that be? Would that be Benson? Would that be, I mean, that we talked about Paterka.
The Cousins trade's a good one, because wasn't the Cousins trade just some version of, like, they didn't trade him at his peak. They didn't trade him when things were going well. They traded Cousins as a, I mean, this seems to get worse by the day. The guy is in a bad spot. We got to do something for him, for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working. It was another one of these breakups.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, think about Florida. Florida always gets so much credit for trading Huberto for Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Huberto was not, oh, wow, this is falling apart. We need to find a way to do something different because...
No, he had 110 points the year before.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's, wow, holy cow. You know what? We've got a deal we think makes us better. We're going to be aggressive. Let's go. Go. Go do it. Trade a 110-point player.
Mm-hmm.
And win the trade. Versus the Sabres, who, what did Dylan Cousins do last year?
Nothing.
I mean... And again, like, without trying to, I'm not taking a shot at him. He looked like the saddest hockey player on earth. And it's just like, this can't get worse. It was, he did well under Granato, mm-hmm. started to go south. Hey, Lindy's going to be the guy that resurrects his game. Just like, nope. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's call it. That's a guy they extended for 7 years.
Yeah.
And how early into the extension did they call it when it's bad? So,
right.
The whole thing is, to me, whatever. Not to say you don't deserve credit for that. But you asked if, like, that's a desperation trade. It might be a throw your hands up, try something different trade. And who'd they get in return? They got Josh Norris, who we haven't seen.
Here's your daily reminder that Josh Norris is on the Buffalo Sabres.
Your daily reminder that the highest paid forward on the Sabres.
Right. And he's penciled in as their number one center right now. Which, people forget he's on the team.
Not for nothing. That should be viewed as you want the team to look different next year. Like, it already will.
Right, he's going to be their number one center.
That guy's on the team.
Yeah.
And if they make a big swing for Elias Pettersson still, which I guess could happen, or I can't even, like, we'll start
Robertson.
To get, sure, Jason. What do they just trade for Jason Robertson, and they have all of a sudden Josh Norris and Jason Robertson. And you're looking at those two in your top six, and
Byram's traded away for something.
Samuelson's bought out. Like, there's, the path is not an impossible path to walk. In fact, teams walk it all the time. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, again, without, like, being overly optimistic, one thing I think about today is, like, today's the first day to try and get it right. And eventually, they will, someone will, maybe it won't be Kevin Adams, but eventually they'll be good again. It's almost impossible mm-hmm. to be this bad this long.
So where we ended up with the Bills eventually, wasn't it?
17 years.
Like not even like, well, I like this and I like this. It's like, well, eventually they have to be good, right? That was maybe halfway through the thing. But it's like, eventually they have to be good.
Yeah.
It did happen.
Brad and Lackawanna quickly before the break. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and give you guys some credit, because I know sometimes you guys don't always get a lot of credit for your calls, like during like the whole long stretch of a season or off season. And I just thought that when we had Reinhart, like, Tkachuk was available for trade. Bobrovsky was available for trade. Maybe you guys were on the fence about Marchand. But you guys were like, we should add this guy. We should add this guy. We should add this guy. And half of the Florida team is literally what you would have called as a GM over the, like, the process of them winning the cup. I just think it's kind of funny, and I thought you guys should get some credit for building the Florida team.
Thanks.
Like, in a weird way.
Thanks, Brad.
Yeah. The Sabres, Tkachuk was on the table, as you mentioned. Kevin Weeks tweeted during all of that the Flames had Tkachuk, a first, a former first, and two prospects in the Eichel sweepstakes. But I think it came out very quickly after that, like, yeah, Tkachuk's not going to Buffalo.
Sure.
So I don't think you were ever getting Tkachuk, because maybe they were talking about getting Tkachuk, and Matthew Tkachuk is like, yeah, I'm not going there. He did the same thing to Calgary. He was very specific, I think, and, like, yeah. There are only a couple teams I want to go to, and Florida was one of them. So, I would have loved it in theory, but I don't think you were ever landing him in the spot the Sabres were in.
803-0550. When you get back, I'll have a stat for you on the Panthers, their roster build. And one thing about the Panthers roster build that's very, very different from the Sabres, and it's not about the top, it's about the bottom. And I think what you'll find would surprise you. So, We'll get to that on the other side. Jeremy and Joe, happy Wednesday. It's the earliest sunrise of the year today. And we started talking about that before the show, and my brain started to hurt. So we mm-hmm. might try to explain that and pass it on. But yes, the earliest sunrise of the year today, 5:36. So good morning. Come hang with us. It's a beautiful Wednesday. It's going to get hot this week on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Do you think the average fan has any idea what you went through and what did you go through?
I tore my adductor off the bone and then had some hernia thing and all on the same side and wanted to throw in the towel a bunch of times. I got to thank a lot of people, I mean, for getting me healthy enough. I'm sure I wasn't the easiest to deal with. I mean, my fiance did a great job of the house on days where I probably wasn't in the best mood coming to the rink, the trainers, maybe when I wasn't in the best mood, when I was in pain. I just owe them so much.
Matthew Tkachuk, you know how it works. Team ends in the playoffs. We find out they were all actually reanimated zombies with limbs that didn't work and adductors off the bone. There you go. That's Matthew Tkachuk. Jeremy Joe, good morning.
He also, there were two things interesting I saw yesterday from him. One was he got Evander Kane to act like the biggest sore loser of all time, who got kicked out of the game. And also Tkachuk said, I guess, that he thought Tampa was the toughest team they played all playoffs.
In the first round.
So there you go. There you go, Gary Bettman. There's your playoff format.
Well, I mean, Toronto took him to 7 games, you know.
Yeah. Maybe he's taking a shot at everybody, I guess, then by saying that. But
maybe. 803-0550. Couple stats for you. I mentioned roster build. I want to get to. I've got two stats of the day. You know, we'll double up. Why not? One is that Florida led in this series for more than any other team had led in a series. The numbers on that. Florida, by the way, and it all happened in first periods. The goal differential in the first period in this series.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Florida scored 14 to Edmonton's 3 in the first period. Games after 20 minutes, 2-1 Florida, 3-2 Edmonton, and then 2-0, 3-0, 2-0, 2-0 Florida. So that's part of it. Then Chris Johnston added, the Panthers spent more time leading during this cup final than any team in history. They were leading for 255 minutes and 49 seconds. But then the roster building stat I wanted to get to, this was from Kevin Papetti, who is an NHL writer and analyst for The Athletic and covers the Leafs, because the Leafs might be a little sensitive to this as well, that Florida's fourth line and third pair, what they pay their fourth line and their third pair, is about $4.3 million total.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabres pay that same group of jobs about $9 million.
Double.
So, double.
More than double.
More than double. About $9 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the stat for you on a real quick, you know, rough math on that is, so Florida gets $5 million surplus there kind of on their fourth line, and they spend $20 million more on the cap.
Yeah.
So the Panthers are spending $25 million more on their top six, their top four, and in goal than the Sabres are. $25 million in 1 year. So,
brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
And that's not even, like, tax-adjusted. That's Florida's just playing with a stacked deck, different deck, and they don't spend too much on the bottom of the roster.
No.
They don't obsess on the bottom of the roster. It's your young guys, your prospects. You get guys in here that can play that role, and you should be good to go. And the Sabres last year, that was... The offseason was finding those guys.
Yeah. I was going to say, for the Sabres, it's both. It's a combination of... They wanted to spend that on the fourth line forwards, right? Like, they wanted to spend that. They didn't want to spend that maybe on the defensemen, but that's what happens when you miss on a couple of contracts, and then the guys end up getting buried on the depth chart. You missed on Samuelson, and you missed on Clifton. So there's $7 million of third-pair defensemen that were they hoping when they signed them 2 years ago that was going to be their Dahlin and Power partners.
Yeah.
And Florida doesn't really have misses like that. Like, when they pay guys, they end up, you know, they end up usually performing pretty well.
Jeff in Welland is up. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. No, I just wanted to run somebody. Like, I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, are you down because, you know, Reinhart, we could still have Reinhart here and Eichel here and, you know, build it off this. But you know what? I actually look at it like, we got Paterka here. We got Thompson. We got Tuck. We got Power. We got Dahlin. We got Benson. Quinn's there. McLeod. Like, realistically, we got a decent core, but what we don't have, the Florida has, is we don't have a Bobrovsky. We don't have a goaltender that, you know, all of our forwards and defense can sit there and have faith in behind them. You know what I mean?
Like, yep.
If we had that goaltender, like, yeah, obviously Reimer's not, you know, he's getting up there. But look at what the team was doing at the end of the season last year, right? Like, they had a veteran goalie sitting in net. He was playing decent for us, and we did well. You know, we need somebody that our players can have faith in the net. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jeff, it's happened a couple times, even where these last 3, 4, 5 years, the guy that's not supposed to be the starter has outplayed the guy that they had be the starter. I feel like that might be one of the most consistent things that has happened.
I was going to say.
Think about it. Reimer.
Yeah. Yeah,
Craig Anderson. UPL. UPL, he was like the third option. He became the guy.
Yeah, Levi
shows up. Whenever they make a plan for the goalie, it seems like the other guy, one of the other guys, ends up being the hot horse that they ride.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it just seems like we need a veteran back there. Like, we need somebody that, because we have so much youth on that team, that they need somebody like a veteran that they can depend on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or have faith in.
Or just give them, like, stability, consistency. Mm-hmm. There are multiple years. I mean, the year that the Panthers win the cup, or sorry, when they lose to Vegas, when they make it as, like, what?
The eight seed. Yeah, they were 1 point
ahead of the Sabres.
1 point ahead
of the Sabres. Like, if they had a goalie, they would have been in the playoffs.
Yep.
I think, Jeff, if I can just kind of guess a word or whatever, use my own on your point here. Stability, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of been chasing this position since Allmark left. Allmark was good, and Allmark left.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it's UPL, and Levi gets in the mix. And who else? Who am I missing?
They signed Eric Comrie to be their starting goalie, didn't they?
For $1.9 million for 2 years to try him out.
He was like the 1A, 1B at least.
Right, right. There were some advanced numbers that, like, oh, he's got a small sample size. Take this risk.
Yeah.
It was a good calculated risk. Did not work. There's Carter Hutton for a couple of years off of a hot year in St. Louis. And by the time he's here, he needs vision surgery. Like, you know, it's the most accomplished goalie they've ever signed after Hasek. Maybe this is not right. Is it Ben Bishop on LTIR? You know, they get Ben Bishop's rights. There's Leonard as a first-round pick.
Anderson was accomplished, but he was old.
Right.
40.
And
right?
He played well for them. So
yeah,
I wonder if, you know, Kekalainen, he had Bobrovsky before Bobrovsky became, you know, Thanos out there in the net. But
yeah.
It is definitely something that, had they had that, like, if they have Hellebuck, they've made the playoffs.
Sure.
Again, you can't just go ahead and have that guy.
Yep.
But it's definitely a point worth making. And last year, what's last year? Last year is, hey, Lukanen did it. Here's 5 years, $5 million. And then it was just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't seem to get anybody in net to really just lock it down at a league average level, which is kind of what Lukanen did when he got that deal. That's when he got $5 million. In 5 years, like, when that contract was signed, didn't it feel like, oh, all right, okay, that's some term, that's some money.
It was another one of the, hey, 1 year's all we need to see.
Let's get a bargain.
You're in. Yeah. Let's get him locked down.
Let's bet and get a bargain.
Yep.
How many of those bargain deals look like bargains right now? Tage.
Tage does, and is that it? Cause the other ones they signed early that haven't really worked: Cousins,
mm-hmm.
Samuelson. Lukanen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? They signed Power pretty early.
Yep.
probably that one probably ends up looking pretty good.
It's fine just because, what do you mean? He makes like eight something. That's probably fine.
That one I bet you'll look back and go, okay, that was a good one. They're two for five, sure. If I'm being generous, though.
I think it's definitely not bad. Andrew in Amherst. Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm one of the individuals who cares more about the Sabres than the Bills, so I've been living this life for the past 14 years. But this is the best time of the season. Renewed optimism. Front office is saying everything you want to say, and we have this naive hope that something's going to happen and we're going to look forward to a new season. But just looking at roster construction, obviously want top six help, but just looking at Josh Norris, I mean, the guy hasn't played more than 66 games in a season and is averaging 53. My concern is we start off, everything's perfect. We start strong. He gets hurt. Our center depth is now Ryan McLeod and Yuri Kulik. And I'm just looking like, are we going to end up with more inaction mid-season, right? So no matter what he does, I'm looking forward to hopefully some moves happening, getting Owen Power a D partner, maybe another goalie, getting rid of the $7.5 million in cap between Clifton and Sammy on our third pair. But, like, does something happen midseason if Norris can't continue? I guess that's my biggest concern, yeah. Is because to this point he hasn't been able to. So
yeah, thanks, Andrew. Midseason, like, that's where also, like, the tuck conversation happens. Like, the tuck conversation, right. We got into this the last couple days. You know, they don't have to move anything on tuck. There's no reason to really even think about it being a worst-case scenario. I don't think they'll trade him. He'll play. And then we get to midseason, we have that conversation. For Norris, man, if Norris doesn't pan out, I mean, I don't know. Are we going to sit around and look at what Cousins does in Ottawa? He's in the division.
I'm not going to worry about it because of how poorly it was going here at the end. Like, did anybody see signs that it was turning around for him here?
No.
So if it turns around for him in Ottawa, I feel like, great. I don't know that was going to happen here. It's different than like last night, Reinhardt scoring for Florida. Like, Reinhardt was good when he was here. That was not Cousins for me. So the injury part, hey, that's why you got him, right? If he gets hurt, you just move Tage back to center, I think is probably what you do.
Which,
and the other thing about Norris is, like, for me, what I'm counting on him more than anything and hoping, like, it's less replacing him as a center like that. It would be replacing what he could give them on the power play. The power play has stunk, and this guy has been good on the power play. And I'm more worried about replacing that because they have not had any options on that opposite Tage side for 2 years now. And if he starts to prove that he can be that and then he gets hurt, I mean, that's the spot you're not going to be able to fill. You could fill the center spot. You just bump Tage over.
A plan for Tage would be part of this, right? How do they think where do they want him? They want him at center? They want him on the wing?
They talked at the end of the season like he's going to play wing until they need him to play center. Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bunch of calls coming in on the Sabres. All right, good. Glad to have it. Let's talk about it. It's the first day of the offseason. The draft's in 9 days. The pressure on Kevin Adams. Whatever you want here. Let's get some calls. More calls. We got more time for you. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I had something else. Oh, I know. Are we talking Hall of Fame for Sam Reinhart? Time to have that conversation. I mean,
it is.
He has more.
It's time for that.
He has more goals in the Stanley Cup final than anybody else in the first like 100 years. In the last 100 years, no one has more goals in the Cup final than Sam Reinhart. He's got 2 cups. League leader in goals.
Wait. Like
in the last 100 years,
he has more
Stanley Cup final goals than anybody in the last 100 years.
Even in only 2 series.
In the final, yeah.
Really?
He's been in 3 series, 3 finals.
Okay, right. He's been in 3.
You have to go back to, like, you know, the Quebec Bulldogs, probably, or something like that.
Like, Gretzky doesn't have more?
The Montreal Maroon. No.
Nope. Mike Bossy doesn't have more?
Not in the Cup final.
That's unbelievable.
Reinhart. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Sweet.
All right.
Great.
Break time.
Glenn, you mentioned the Reinhart family and Sam with the 4 goals tonight. He joins you in the record books. You were the last player to score 7 goals in one Stanley Cup final. That was back in 1985 when you won the first of your two Conn Smythe trophies. So full circle moment with Sam Reinhart scoring seven goals in this series.
Hey, all my records this year are dropping like flies, Eddie O.
Hey, you still got another 40 or 50 on that. You're okay.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So, dug up that Reinhart doesn't have the most goals ever in the Stanley Cup Finals.
It's in a Cup Final.
In one Stanley Cup Final series, though, he is tied for the most with Gretzky, Jean Beliveau, and Mike Bossy.
All right.
That's your group of guys who have seven. And I believe those other three are all in the Hall of Fame.
I forgot that Chris Knobloch took a shot at the Bills last year.
The Oilers coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Bowls.
He was asked about experience, and he said you can ask the Buffalo Bills how important experience in the Super Bowl is.
Right.
Which,
yes.
His point was they were there a bunch and they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
So experience is, who cares? His team has lost back-to-back Cup Finals. He's right. They didn't need it last year. Having it this year didn't help. But
he's also halfway there.
It was right. That's what the kids refer to as catching strays.
Yes.
The Bills are out here catching strays. And I would anticipate they might catch a few more if Edmonton continues to go. Josh says that a guy called during one of the segments and did not go on the air and asked, which would you rather do? Go to back-to-back Cup Finals and lose or have a 14-year playoff drought? And he said that he would rather have a 14-year playoff drought. And I'm going to try and think of a more absurd thing that I'll hear in the next calendar year. It's absolutely unhinged.
It's asinine.
To say you would prefer to have no positive memories for 14 years rather than thousands of positive memories.
Right. Just with some heartbreak at the end.
'Tis better to have loved than lost than never loved at all. You're out of your mind, sir. He didn't come on the air. Would you rather have Josh Allen and never win a Super Bowl or not? That's like the question.
Yeah.
Which was better? You kind of did say the drought was more fun.
It's just different. It's just different. It wasn't more fun. It's more fun to reminisce.
Would you rather be awesome or bad? Well, it depends. Are we tanking for something? No.
This drought's also less fun than the Bills drought, I'll say that.
Significantly less fun.
Because there's 10 times the amount of games.
That's part of it. There's a lot more games.
The draft isn't the same.
They are rare. I mean,
that's really the biggest difference. You hit these off seasons and it's hard to build up hope, whereas in the NFL draft, like every year it's like, well, maybe this is the year we hit on a quarterback.
Right, just find a quarterback and you'll be fine.
Right.
And it really doesn't kind of exist for the Sabres. Anyway. Offseason begins today. The draft is in 9 days. Marcel Louis-Jacques joins us at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about the Dolphins and what's going on with them because they're in a strange timeline for NFL teams in this little weird netherworld. So we'll get his thoughts on that, how things are going at Dolphins camp. That's coming up at 9. Plenty more to get to. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on the Panthers, who have won the Cup. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.